God is doing something that many folks don't realize during the season because they don't recognize the season. And I did not really realize that I had not taught on the feast, God's three feast seasons, seven feasts in all, until after Wednesday night. I had so many people contact me and say, Pastor, thank you for that. Well, then I had Miss Joanna check, and I hadn't shared those things since 2004. So it's been a long time since I shared that. I have about five books on the subject of the feasts of God: Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. We have books on Shavuot. We have books on Yom Kippur, which is shortly to come here. This coming Wednesday night will be Yom Kippur, which is commonly referred to as the Day of Atonement. And before that, there are 10 days of awe. During this period, there is more demonic, satanic activity than any other time during the calendar year. God's celestial calendar year, I'm talking about, not talking about your Gregorian calendar, talking about the celestial calendar of God, where God set his alarm clock in the heavens and says these three times a year shall be kept for a memorial. And those are feast seasons. They are called moedim. They are celebrations. We would call them parties. When God, now if you are here Wednesday night, you'll understand what I'm about to say, where God allows us to enter deeper into his presence than at any other time during the year. God says during this time, and the most of all during Tabernacles, one of these years during Tabernacles season, which began last Sunday, will carry on for 10 days of awe, then Yom Kippur, then will culminate in the final of the three feasts called Tabernacles just in a few more days after the days of awe, which will end this coming Wednesday. You say, why is all this important? Because there's another alarm that's going to go off during one of the tabernacle seasons, and that begins with the Feast of Trumpets. Are you with me? And your Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. They blew 100 blasts of the shofar at the beginning, at Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new celestial year ordained of God, when God said, you get a new beginning. Okay. I already know all this. So when you get a new beginning, say, I get a new beginning. And I mean right now. Now, here's the interesting thing. The reason there's so much satanic activity, why there are so many earthquakes, why there are so many hurricanes, why there are so many tornadoes, why there are so many murders, why there's so much rape and incest and mass killings. You know that the federal government, through the United States Armed Forces, a week ago released a memo that then got leaked to the secular press, where all military personnel were put on high alert because of the release of a movie. Do you remember the mass shooting that went on, that happened, I believe it was in Colorado? No, not Columbine. It was in Colorado at the theater when they released the movie Batman, right? Right? Well, now they've released one called The Joker. And if you feel like going, you a joker. The people of God have no business exposing themselves to such things. That's a different spirit. That's not your spirit. I'm gonna try again now. Oh, I felt spiritual pushback right there. That's all right, you and the devil, push all you want to. You got no business exposing yourself to that. When something as secular, as humanistic, as the federal government and the armed forces of the United States of America tell their personnel, be on high alert because there's a spirit being loosed as a result of what's going to go on in those theaters. Now it's time you recognize this is not a recreation room. This is a battlefield. And all these tiptoeing through the tulips, licking lollipops, so-called preachers need to find a Bible and start telling the people the truth. What fellowship has light with darkness? Why do you enjoy something that is of another spirit? God said, don't even let such things be mentioned among you, which is becoming to saints. Did you hear me? So anyway, during this time of year, all right, which began with Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the new year on Wednesday, sunset on Wednesday. Sunup on Wednesday is the feast began. That is the Feast of Trumpets. Now, there are three feasts during Tabernacles season. There are three seasons. Passover, Pentecost. Now, if I'm retracing some steps for you, just refresh yourself. But when I shared these simple points on Wednesday night, well over 90% of the people that were there had never heard it. And it is so very, very, very vital for you to understand what's going on right now. What's going on right now? 9/11. Happened during this season. Over 70% of all wars that have been begun since the history has been recording those wars began during this season. Why? Every single thing in the spirit realm is on its last nerve right now. Every demon, every devil, every principality, every power, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and I'll be teaching you what every one of those are, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, demonic activity, transfer. It is no coincidence, that folks will celebrate the devil's high holiday, Halloween, during this season. Please listen to me. You are a spirit being. Okay, that went over big. Say, I am a spirit being. Now let me clue you in on this. Satan hates you. Okay, I'll try to save folks right in here. Satan hates you. He hates you. He hates you. And he uses demon spirits to influence you. Often, demon spirits use you to influence others. You mean to tell me a Christian can have a demon? First of all, I didn't say you had a demon. I said you were influenced by a demon. No, it's getting good. I'm just talking now. I ain't started nothing. Let me tell you what sent that devil Dorian across the Bahamas. Satan. Oh, yeah, no. Oh, look. Man, I'm going to have some fun up in here the next few weeks. I heard somebody just say, nature. That was nature. You need to be here on Wednesday night. Doesn't have anything to do with nature. Has everything to do with devils. 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 Demons. I'm just looking at you. Because you've had so much tiptoeing through the tulips, you have forgotten that there is an enemy of your soul, and he's doing everything in his power to take you, your children, your family, your money, your neighborhood. That's why your Bible says, resist. Everybody just say, resist the devil, and he will flee. Run in terror. Seek safety in flight. Hide in disguise in darkness. He will flee from you. Show somebody and tell them, time to raise up a resistance. Some of you need to start in your teenager's bedroom. You need to raise up a resistance. You in authority here, they not in authority. Why are you asking them what they want to do? They got no right to tell you what they want to do. You're responsible, Dad. You're responsible, Mom. Take control in your house. The devil didn't die because you got born again. I'm not teaching yet, I'm just sharing. Resist in word what comes out of your mouth. God, deliver us from evil. I don't understand how the church doesn't believe in evil, but Jesus does. The disciples came to Jesus. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. All right. Jesus said, okay, here it is. Pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven. You're thinking of a location. God does not abide in a location. God is that spirit. That's why you need to be here on Wednesday night. Our Father, notice immediately, by the first word, this is Jesus speaking. Who is he? Our is plural. Now, Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus. now dead and smelling for 4 days. 4 days was important because that's when the worms, if you will, begin to devour the flesh. Without embalming, you can't keep a body up more than 4 days. Decomposition takes place. Dust you are, and to dust you will return. This is serious business. This is not play at it. You don't want to tug on Superman's cape unless you carrying a bigger stick. The devil does not understand your platitudes, nor does he care. He does not care if you slip into church and sit in padded pews under crystal chandeliers. In fact, he will encourage you to do just that. Not here. That's why we haven't got any crystal chandeliers. We do have padded pews, but as soon as we get enough money, we're going to get rid of them. Put something else in here. Are you listening to me? Say Moedim. Say tabernacles. Say trumpets. Say Rosh Hashanah. Head of the year. New beginning. That's where I am right now. Resist the devil in word and deed. Here's what the devil knows: what you tell him and what you show him. He cannot read your mind. Some people tormented in their mind, thinking the devil knows their thoughts. He doesn't know your thoughts till you act on them. Till you talk about them. Then you're putting it out into the natural realm. That's where he operates. Oh, good God in heaven. So, back to, can a Christian have a devil? Can a Christian have a demon? Well, that would depend on your definition of a Christian. Can a churchgoer be possessed? Uh-huh. Can a preacher be possessed? Absolutely. Many are. And you don't even know it because the devil is a master at deception. That's the reason your Bible said, try the spirits. People listen to preachers with homosexual spirits, and then they don't understand why they start being attracted to the other sex. Well, they've been delivered. How long? How long did they sit down? Why are you so quiet? I'm talking about the shepherds of your soul. Why do I want to listen to somebody and receive a spirit from somebody who can't stay with his wife trying to tell me how to stay with mine? Yeah, time to go home. You know that evil and live are juxtaposed? Live is evil backwards. Evil is live backwards. Can someone in the choir have a demon? Uh-huh. Can someone that says they're a Christian have a demon? Uh-huh. But now can a, Miss Ashton preached about it already, can a born again recreated spirit full of the Word of God true tongue talking, not that memorized tongue, not that taught tongue, not that learned dance. I'm telling you, something about to hit this place. People are going to stagger up and down these aisles. You're going to see manifestations that most of you have never seen in your life. I'm talking about people absolutely intoxicated on the Spirit of God. You better get ready for some stuff. Devil, here we come. We've had it. It's over. It's D-Day for you. Hey, devil, can you spell eviction? Because you're about to get evicted out of our minds, out of our bodies. I thought I had a church in here. I said, the devil only knows what you show. So why don't you show a little bit of your power? Why don't you inform him that something bigger than you is in? About to be motion, emotion, and commotion. Because you're about to learn how to resist the devil. Can somebody blood bought, blood washed, truly Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, with an up-to-date prayer life? I don't know why y'all get together in little groups and pray when four out of the five of you haven't cracked your Bible in the last week. I'd be careful what kind of spirit's going on there. It's quiet. Are you being influenced by satanic forces? I don't know. How much do you pray? How often are you busy on Wednesday night? Meaning you at home. How many church services are you willing to miss? I'm telling you right now, we got youth pastors that I've been waiting on for 5 years, and they're about ready to help you straighten your children out. Of course, you'll have to make them come. I'm so tired. Well, I asked Johnny, but he just didn't want to come. I told you to get... Asking children, Dr. Lowe, did your mama ever ask you, did you want to go to church? When did you get called to preach? 10 years old. When did you get born again? 8 years old. When did you start singing in church? You don't even remember. You don't even remember. You ever sung in a club? The world ever paid you for that gift? My parents never asked me. And I'll tell you another thing they didn't ask me. Well, I don't really like that youth pastor. Some of my friends go there. They're not spirit-filled over there, Mom and Dad. And so we're, just let us go over there. And then you tell me, oh, you going over there because you want your kids to be happy. Let me give you one of these. Everybody scream at the top of your lungs, there's a devil loose. I said scream, there's a devil loose. I said scream, there's a devil loose. And you don't have to fear him, but you do have to overcome him. Come on, Elkhart, shout. No, I'm not getting into this yet. Because I didn't have time. Be seated. But during this season, the first two feasts, Passover was historically fulfilled. Historically fulfilled at the cross of Calvary. He became our Passover lamb. That's what we celebrate at what's commonly referred to as Easter. I prefer resurrection season. But it's Passover. In the old covenant, they put blood on the doorposts and the lintel of their house. And they got the leaven out of their... I said they got rid of the leaven of the Pharisees. External religion. They got rid of the leaven of the Sadducees, who did not believe in angels nor demons. Some of you get nervous when you hear demons. You actually become fearful. And yet you go watch movies and open your spirit. Here's how spirits come in. Number one, intoxication. Look at me, y'all get mad at me now. He better not start talking about my beer. If I hear one more time, God doesn't care if I have a beer with my friends. Well, God might not, but what about your neighbor watching you? They're going to watch you throwing down alcohol, throwing down shots with your wine at your table in public. Are they going to look at you and say, there's a believer? Why are you laughing? I'm a Nazarite. I need all the sanctification I can get. Because I want my prayers to have power. I'm not about ready to turn my mind over. Now, you want to turn yours over? Go ahead. Go ahead. Help yourself. Next time you go in for surgery, you better know how to pray. You better have some folk covering you the entire time you're out. And I ain't even started talking about when you're asleep. Here's how spirits come in. The eye gate. What you see. David. David, your Bible said, was at home at the time the men of war went to battle. God, I wish I had time to preach this a little bit. What are you doing at home when there's a war going on? There's a war for souls. How many souls we want? You think that the devil and demon spirits and principalities and powers are just going to sit back and clap their fettered hands together in celebration that we have won 10,687? You think he's going to lay down because people are throwing their cigarettes away, throwing their drugs away, throwing their alcohol away? You think he's going to lay down because we've declared war against the forces of darkness, arrayed against your children? Shove somebody and say, it's time to fight. Shove somebody else and say, stop staying home. Shove somebody else and say, get in the word. Shove somebody else and say, start praying. Come here. You. But you can both come. Come here. Come here, hurry. I just saw you. I just saw you. All right? Come on. Come on. Stand right here. Now this is...
Kristen. Sorry.
You're all right.
Kristen. Yes, it's my husband.
Caleb.
Kristen. Caleb. God moved, I don't know, it seems like 9 months ago or something. And you made a determination after your mother passed, we're not going that way. We going to church. And you got him.
Yes.
And I watched him. Like I watched, he's a wonderful man. But I could tell that there was a resistance in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she walks in. He's out on the floor praying in tongues and can't stop. Wasn't nobody with him. I didn't lay hands on him. The Holy Spirit came in and changed his life. Now he's witnessing to everybody on his job, right? You're telling them all about Jesus because it's real, right?
It's very real.
Can you tell me what happened to you? Go ahead.
When that happened?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of would have to give my testimony.
Go ahead.
I'm a little nervous.
What? look at all them.
Okay.
I'll stick a mic in front of them and they'll be nervous too.
Okay.
So don't worry about that. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I kind of grew up in a dark atmosphere. My mother's side of the family were kind of into some dark things. And it rubbed off on me, and through my 20s and joined in the military, everything I did, it just kind of made it worse. And I kind of went off the deep end a little bit with it, and I got interested in the dark arts, and I got interested in...
Can you hear him?
Demonic spirits.
He said he got interested because his family on his mother's side were into dark arts. I didn't think you heard him, so help me here.
And So I kind of got inspired in a way to start learning. I studied a lot of demonology, and I got into a lot of those things, and I welcomed dark spirits into my life, into me. I thought at one moment that maybe it would empower me and give me strength to get through things that I was going through.
You got power.
And I had thought that maybe, you know, riches and fame and glory, you know, all, the whole
world. That's works. What he promises.
Sure, it is. And so I kind of got into that area. And when my mother-in-law passed away, because she always knew, she always noted, it was no secret between us. I didn't let it be a secret. It was something I was proud of at that point in my life. And it led to a lot of nasty things. I become volatile. I become aggressive and violent. And I could lie and manipulate. And I was just not very proud of who I was now. But when my mother-in-law passed away, because she had always wanted me to accept Jesus and confess him and walk the righteous path with God, I told her I would try. I said, I would try. I would try this for you and for my family. And for a whole year, I tried. And all my prayers were always empty. They were always, I mean, they just felt like there was no connection, no nothing there. And then we met Diana and Mike.
Elders,
and
Mike and Diana Yoder.
And I asked them about blessing my house because I knew there was a demonic presence. There was a pressure in the atmosphere in our home. We were at each other's throats, constantly bickering, constantly arguing, fighting. The kids The kids were just terrible. She was suffering from anxiety, depression, agoraphobia. She wouldn't leave the house. She wouldn't go nowhere without going into a chronic panic attack. So we got with Mike and Diana, and I asked them how to bless the house. And they gave us kind of instructions, and they gave us oil to do the whole thing. And that was on a Wednesday. And then on a Thursday, I didn't do it that Wednesday, but on a Thursday when I woke up, I immediately started praying for God's anointing and his power and his authority into my life. And I prayed all day long, the entire day at work. Everybody I crossed, every path I crossed, I talked about God everywhere I went. And every time I wasn't with somebody talking about God, I was praying for God's anointing to empower me to get home and bless my house and cast out these spirits that I knew was there, that she knew was there. She witnessed a lot of the nasty things that I welcomed. And so I came home from work that day, and usually it's me that kind of started the arguments. And, you know, by the first turn of our doorknob and I walked in, I felt something. When I looked at her, she had this look on her face that was just not her look. That just wasn't my wife's expression whenever I come home. And it was mean, and she started on me, and I started back at her. And I immediately knew the enemy can't see exactly what's going on. He just knows there's a divine presence. Something's about to happen.
Something's about to happen. That's it. That's key. Yeah. Something's about to happen.
So I left, and unlike usual, you know, I would just go nuclear and just, you know, we'd go at it or whatever. But this time I went to the bedroom and I sat down, opened up a game on my phone to try to calm down. I got high blood pressure and I got, you know, all these problems with aggression like I had spoke of. So this time I went to the bedroom and I said, I'm not going to let this stop me from blessing my house today. So I went in, I sat there for about 5 minutes and I felt this urge to start praying. And so I started praying, and what I thought would open up into just some empty prayer like always turned out not to be very empty after all. And so I opened up my prayer and I asked God to just take everything. I offered it all to God. Most of all, I admitted and I prayed for forgiveness for conspiring against God with his greatest enemy. And then when I did, I felt this, I can't explain it. It was supernatural. It was above anything I had ever felt in any area or any timeline of my life. I've never felt such a presence. And I lost complete motor control with my body, and I fell. And I don't know, I think I was there for, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours? Screaming, crying, weeping, yelling. I was speaking a language that I didn't know, that all I had to do was open my mouth and it come flowing out. And for the next 2 weeks, I'd say a good 2 weeks, I was intoxicated.
Yeah.
And it was empowering, and it was far more empowering than anything that an evil spirit could ever give you. And today, on this day, I still struggle with it, and I feel sometimes like maybe I have a stain on me or something, and I get uncomfortable when we start talking about things like this.
Yeah.
But I'm here, and I'm doing it.
All right, here's the deal. Go ahead.
When this happened, when I was witness to this, when this happened and I accepted and confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I welcomed God's Spirit into me, and when he came into me, like a flood that he does every time, her anxiety, her depression, she's coming to a church with hundreds of people on a slow Wednesday.
Yes.
No more agoraphobia, and she hasn't had a panic attack that I've been around and witnessed since that day.
We rebuke every anxiety, you spirit. We corporately take authority over you. Nobody coming to this church is going to have anxiety. Nobody coming to this church associated in Elkhart, listening online. Satan, you binding spirit of aggression, you angry spirit, you tormenting devil, you panic attack spirit, we bind you now. We cast you out. We say, go! 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 Now obey us. Now shout the praises of God that gives you the victory. Tell these young people, all right, everybody standing. I'm gonna get into this. We're gonna get into the deep. I said we're gonna get into the deep, and we're gonna deal with stuff. And stuff's gonna let you go. I said, stuff, you need to let the devil know you believe what I said. It's over. Next Sunday morning, I want oil. I'm gonna pray over it. And we're going to anoint every home. I said, we're going to anoint your car. And there's a bunch of stuff need to go out those dormitories too. And don't you think I don't know. Don't you think I don't know. Everybody ought to be saying, as David said, Lord, reveal to me. Get rid of it. Your family's fighting and fussing all the time. There's a spirit. natural at the time when David should have been at war. He was watching the internet. Oh, we're going to cast that one out too. I may take an entire Sunday morning, and you will never struggle with pornography again when I'm finished. That's a spirit. That's a demon. Time to get right or get left. I feel God in this house. Stuff about to change at your house. Stuff's about to change in your mind. Stuff about to change in your body. So when he should have been at war, I mean Wednesday night service, oh, I'm too spiritual. You full of devils. You got the worst one. Religious devils. Oh, look how quiet it got. Pharisees. The leaven of Herod. Sexual perversion. The leaven of the Corinthians. No understanding of or respect for authority. We've raised two generations of them. Two generations of them. Bunch of Miriams. Well, the Lord speaks to me too. No, 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 dear one. Read your Bible. There are things you will never get in your life until you submit to the word of a man or woman of God, anointed of the Holy Ghost, telling you something you don't want to hear. We're going to grow up. So we went and looked at Bathsheba. When you're not where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, you open yourself up to going where you should not go, looking at what you should not see, and end up doing what you should not do. David was a man after God's own heart, the psalmist of Israel. You think because you sing on this platform, you're exempt. Think because you're on the dream team, you're exempt. Think because you're a valor, you're exempt. No, no, no. You just tugged on Superman's cape. And you better be ready. And remember, when the enemy comes in, now, most people quote it wrong. They say when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. That's not what your Bible says, and it's not what it teaches. Can't just read the Bible and listen to some bozo trying to entertain you. It's when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood. You hear what the young man said? Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I dare you to shout, I resist you, devil. I resist racism. I resist bigotry. I resist adultery. I resist pornography. I resist gossip. I resist cliques. I resist getting on social media and being more depressed when I turn it off than when I turned it on, because I spend the whole time comparing myself to a false image of somebody else. I ain't going where the devil goes. I ain't singing what the devil sings. I ain't playing with the devil folk. I ain't hanging with the devil's crowd. Now, Wednesday night, get your phone out right now and set an alarm for Wednesday. Wednesday night is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and we are going to apply the blood on Wednesday night. Now, here's why all of this happens at this time of year. Pentecost was fulfilled 50 days after Passover, after Calvary. The only one not to be fulfilled is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of Atonement. That season called Tabernacles, it appears way later in the year, in the fall of the year, the other two close together, as was the crucifixion, resurrection, and Pentecost. Then way later in the fall of the year, that's in the spring, in the fall of the year, God says, Tabernacles. Why? Because it was going to historically be a long time between historic Passover and historic Pentecost, and the fulfillment historically out in the future of Tabernacles. That feast begins with trumpets, 100 of them, blasting, announcing the king is coming. No, you didn't hear me. We don't know the day and we don't know the hour, but my dear brother and sister, we do know the season. And the season is Tabernacles. One of these years, during this time, could be this one. Okay, everybody's excited about that. I said it could be before you get home. The trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Get my book. Nothing has to happen. Nothing else has to be fulfilled according to your Bible until that moment. Now, the second coming is different. That's 7 years later. We won't be here. We'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus is coming back to this earth. Because he's going to reinvent it, recreate it, the same way he did in Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2. He's going to do her again. And for 1,000 years, I got a message I'm going to preach in this series called The Post-Calvary Devil. We're going to preach the devil's funeral service. Because your Bible said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on that old dragon, which is the serpent and the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And when that 1,000 years is up, he casts him into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone and shuts him up. And we're going to be watching ringside. So the devil knows the season. And that's why all this activity gets churned up. Don't participate in it. People are like, what haunted house you going to? You ought to be saying, I'll pick you up for Wednesday night because we need to seal ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's quiet. We're taking the rainbow back. That rainbow symbol's our covenant. That don't belong to anybody else. That's our covenant. Stop letting the devil steal from you. Let him that stole steal no. All right. So he knows. That's why he stirs everything he can up. That's why you're fighting with each other. That's why you're gossiping. Why you're going where you shouldn't be going, doing what you shouldn't be doing. Little foxes getting in. Spoil the vine. Resist. Resist. Hallelujah. Now, if Jesus does not come this tabernacle season, which he may, if he does not, the book of Joel promises 7 double portion blessings for you and your family because God takes it out on the devil. If you want God to take it out on the devil in your life, I dare you to resist the devil in word and deed. Get to clapping, shouting, spinning, running, dancing, waving.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, I want to invite you to tell someone in your life about the podcast. Hope you'll do it today. Head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Share it on your social networks for me. Really helps me get the word out. I'd love for you to connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. No easier way for me to minister to you every day and throughout the day. And for us to join together in faith as God moves in and through your life. You can find links to all my pages at rodparsley.com. God bless you now, and I hope you'll listen again soon.